Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour, Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. So folks that are disappointed that Chad's out, I mean, Chad, he deserves a little downtime. He works hard. Everybody gets vacation. Chad's back tomorrow. And tomorrow's draft day. We're doing a special draft show. So I'm going to be in the building tomorrow. David Joseph, he will not be. You're out of here.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
You're on a flight tomorrow.
I am. I'm heading out of town. I did check in with Chad today. He will be back. And Adam Carter, who is on a vacation as well, will be back with Chad tomorrow.
Nice.
And they'll have Dara in for her normal spot to talk food tomorrow. So they got a good show. Even though they're on vacation, they checked in today.
Gotcha. This is a sentiment that I think a lot of us have when it comes to air travel that I want to get to. And it's interesting that it's coming from the CEO of United Airlines, Oscar Munoz. And I think that the opinion in what he's talking about it and how he's talking about it is something that resonates with, I think, a lot of us as consumers. Those that get on flights and we're partaking in the air travel. I thought he had some really interesting comments that he made to the Daily Mail. So United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz, he claimed that flying nowadays is oftentimes too stressful for passengers. Because he's claiming that United as an airlines and as a company, they're working hard to improve the different travel experiences. And he says that they have empathy with the customers, okay? He made the comment that a lot of times, by the time that the traveler is getting ready to get on the plane, they're upset at the world. And he didn't use the word upset. He used another word that I won't use, but essentially that they were upset. And he's pretty transparent and open in the interview that he does, because he's also talking about the passenger seats in terms of the size is ever shrinking. He talks about how Wi-Fi at times doesn't work and he's trying to improve the technology. But when he says that, when he's asked about the seat size becoming smaller, he told ABC News, "I think that we're nearing a point certainly that we can't do that anymore." And I would agree. When you're traveling, when you're spending good money to get on an airplane to travel, you want to be comfortable. You don't want to be all squished up in a seat. And that is something that has to continue to be a topic of conversation. And he understands that because he's hearing from air travelers every day. He contended that flying has become extremely stressful from the time passengers leave their homes to boarding the plane. He says, quote, "It's become so stressful from when you leave, wherever you live, to get into traffic, to find a parking spot, just to get through security. By the time that you sit on one of our aircraft, you're upset at the world, and I don't care what coffee, what cookie, or what smile I give you." So now he also acknowledged that to stay competitive with his peers, that they have to match offers, but he admitted that passengers have had enough of paying the price. He claimed, "Somebody asked me, what advice would you give other travelers? I said empathy. I think discourse between human beings is lacking. I've always lived by the concept that sharing is caring, and share with us. We have so many different vehicles. I always tell our team someone trusted us and said you would get from me from here to here. That's what they bought, and anything that's short of that has to be our issue." And I agree with them. That has to be the mindset of the people that are operating these different airlines, because, yeah, it is your duty. People are saying that I'm purchasing a seat on your craft, your aircraft, and you need to get me from point A to point B. And the empathy thing, I totally am in agreement with him. Because a lot of times we do end up, before we even get on the plane, we're frustrated. We're agitated. And that doesn't make for a good experience for anybody out there. So I'm glad that he's speaking on behalf of not just his airlines, but just the airline industry in general, because we all want to have better experiences, okay? Getting an airplane ticket isn't cheap for the most part, okay? Sometimes you'll get deals and you'll find discount airlines and stuff like that, whatever. But when it comes to just the experience itself, these airline companies need to do a much better job, not only today, but moving forward in the future of taking care of their customers. All right, enough of me talking about that specific issue and ranting. Let's go to the news and hear from Laura Oaks. Back with you here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. Chad Hartman back tomorrow. Adam Carter back tomorrow. Those guys being a part of just hanging out and having vacation time. DJ, I know that you're headed on vacation tomorrow. You'll be back on Tuesday, it sounds like. Seeing some old friends in the building. I do want to give a quick shout out to a guy that I feel has really been underrated here in the Twin Cities, and his career is over now, and that will be Brian Robinson, former Minnesota Viking. The headline here, I just saw it a couple of minutes ago in the commercial break from ProFootballTalk.com, that he signed a one-day deal with the Vikings to retire as a member of the Minnesota Vikings, which is a little bit odd from the standpoint that he spent all of his time in Minnesota. It wasn't as though he latched on with another organization, went to another team, because when he was cut last preseason and didn't play last year, it wasn't like he went on to play with the Tennessee Titans or the Philadelphia Eagles or whatever. He was a Viking for a decade, and he was really good. I think he's going to go down as really underrated when it comes to Viking football in the last couple of decades. When you look at a guy that played much better than where he got drafted, you got to remember, Robinson was not a first-round pick. He was not a second-round pick. He was not a third-round pick. He was drafted out of the University of Texas in the fourth round. He was picked 102 back in 2007. Had an opportunity to hang out with him a couple of times. Really good dude. Really good guy. And so, props to you, Brian, man. You had a really good career as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. He landed, or I think he finishes up his career ninth in terms of sacks for the Vikings. He ended up with 60 sacks in his 10-year career. Now, the next topic I wanted to get into involves people being shocked about something that's being revealed right now in the world of college athletics. Everybody has been talking about for the last year and a half, approaching 2 years, the big college basketball scandal, right? We've seen assistant coaches plead guilty. We've seen other big high-profile coaches fall under the microscope and face scrutiny for paying recruits or allegations of it. We saw Sean Miller last year with Arizona. He was under the microscope after everything that involved his star recruit, who ended up being the number one pick in the draft. As much as we can look at the college basketball angle, and people have heard about the two defendants, Christian Dawkins, Merle Code, and they were found guilty of multiple counts of fraud in the case, and that was October of last year. There's a key witness right now in this whole entire ordeal. His name is Lewis Martin Blazer. He's a former financial advisor out of Pittsburgh, and he's cooperating as a witness with the federal government. The reason why I bring his name up is because he is essentially stating on the record for everybody out there that as much as we're talking about college basketball and this being a big time scandal with the shoe companies and all of that stuff, that this is a college football ordeal as well. He was in a position to financially advise NFL players, and he paid college football players at some of the biggest schools in the sport for more than a dozen years. So on Tuesday, he testified under direct examination that he directed payments. Listen to this. He directed payments to football players from Alabama, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, Pittsburgh, Northwestern, and North Carolina between the years 2000 and up to 2013-14. I'll repeat. Did you hear some of those names? Alabama, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, North Carolina. The reason why I bring this up is because when this started to come out and people were talking yesterday, they're like, really? Big-time college football? Of course. How could you think that things happen in college basketball and we say that that seems a little bit shaky, something doesn't sound right, big-time scandal? You don't think that college football is affected to the same degree that college basketball is? It absolutely is, if not worse. Because when you're talking about the revenue when it comes to college football, it's just as big. Now, the college football playoffs, just from the perspective of fans looking at it, being attracted to it, it isn't more popular than March Madness. I get that. But when you're talking about college football Saturdays, that's the epitome of what college athletics, from a monetary standpoint, it's all about. You're talking about big-time dollars being generated by these conferences when it comes to football. And you look at the networks and how much money. When you wake up on a Saturday morning, I don't know about you, DJ, when it comes to your Saturday mornings in the fall, but this is my Saturday morning. Typical. Wake up Saturday morning, right? What's the first thing I got on TV? College game day. College game day. Corso. Herb Street. The whole crew. And they're breaking down games. They're talking about players. And they're talking about matchups. So that's early that Saturday morning, right? So I start with that. And then what does it trickle into? The games. When it comes to college football on a Saturday, you can watch college football all day, all night. And yes, I know that there are a lot of girlfriends, a lot of wives out there that get agitated with their spouses, with their boyfriends, because what do? If you want to be just a fat cat and you just want to sit on the couch and do nothing, you could do nothing all day long on a Saturday. Even more so than an NFL Sunday. NFL Sunday, yeah, you can wake up and you can watch a little pregame stuff, whatever, and then you can, if you want to go to the U.S. Bank Stadium and watch the Vikings, you can, and then go and you can sit on the couch and watch maybe the late game and then, you know, Sunday night football. But you talk about on a Saturday, it's way worse. You're talking about being lazy. Wake up at 8 or 9, and you can watch the West Coast games when it comes to college football doesn't end till midnight on the networks. So you can watch it all day long. My point is, when it comes to the big money and when it comes to paying players illegally, because right now it's illegal, although $100 handshakes has been out there for a long, long time, you're not supposed to do it, but it happens. For people to think that all of this stuff, and it happens with college football, that, oh, Alabama pays players? Or kids from Alabama gets money, or Notre Dame kids get money, or Michigan kids get money. Of course. This is not breaking news. And I'm not saying that the institutions themselves are paying the kids. I'm talking about there are always going to be those handlers, those people out there that will try to direct traffic and kids to certain institutions via agents. That's not changing. So I'm not implying that, yeah, Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, yeah, they're paying recruits. No, but a lot of times recruits get some money from somebody. And don't be shocked by it. Don't be shocked at all. And he testified specifically about guys that went into the draft, that he paid $10,000 to the father of a Penn State player who was the 11th pick overall in the draft. Also specifically named, he didn't name the kid, but it sounds like through the reports that Hakeem Nicks, remember him? He had a good run for a couple of years with the New York Giants, that he ended up getting paid, former first-round pick. So none of this should surprise people at all. It doesn't surprise me at all. It just shouldn't. This is the part of the society you got to figure out, are you going to clean it up at all, which it sounds like they're trying to do, but it can never get worked out. Because the paying player stuff, that's been around forever. I have with my own two eyes seen players receive gifts when they're recruits. Some of them went straight to the NBA because they were a big-time college recruit, high school recruit back in the day, and they didn't make it to college. They went straight to the league. And I've also seen people be one-and-dones get gifts. And no, these are not Minnesota-born players. These were big-time recruits that essentially could have just went to the league and bypassed college altogether. But the bottom line is, hey, don't be at all shocked, all surprised that this scandal when it comes to college football is going to be just as big as the college basketball items as well. All right, coming up next, a famous country singer is apologizing for some comments that she made when realistically she's going to have to take a look in the mirror. We get to that next. Why you gotta tell me that I'm looking good? Don't know. Country singer Janet Kramer, she's walking back some comments that offended a lot of people. All right, Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman. Country singer Janet Kramer, I know that's one of DJ's favorites. He's rocking it on his phone all the time. What was the name of that? Do you know the name of that last track? You're going to say, no, you don't.
It's called Why You Wanna.
Well, she got herself into a little bit of hot water, according to some comments that she made on a podcast, Wind Down with Janet Kramer. That's the podcast. In it, she scolded women for posting sexy pictures of themselves on websites meant for families to find a professional nanny. She says, I just don't understand some of these girls that post pictures on care.com because I'm like, don't you know the female is hiring? I'm laughing at some of these pictures. So she walked, it sounds like she's walked it back, though, in a recent post on Instagram to try to clarify her comments and the context of what she was saying. And she states, there's been some backlash about my nanny comments, so I want to come here to discuss. First of all, a few of the things I said were taken severely out of context, like the fact that people think I meant the nanny deserved it because she's hot. I did not say that, nor would I ever say that or think that. No one ever deserves to be sexually assaulted in the workplace based on what they wear or how they look, period. This is an interesting situation with Janet Kramer. And I hate to say this because I root for all couples to have healthy relationships and maintain strong, positive interactions with their partners. But unfortunately, in this situation, I just don't see how her marriage is going to last. So if you don't know what's going on with her, her husband, it's been a struggle. So her husband, he has, let's just say that he's struggled with sex addiction, and also he's had a history of cheating on his wife, which is serious. And she's standing by him. She's trying to hold it down for the family. But unfortunately, and I'm not saying that she needs to divorce her husband. She needs to do what's best for her and her family. But when you lash out at other people and you're putting the onus on other people, that's not going to work. That's not going to help the marriage out. She's going to have to confront the fact that her husband is continuously unfaithful. And he's struggling still with the cheating. That's what has to happen. Once they confront that and say, this is the main reason. It's not about care.com. It isn't about a nanny and whether she's hot or not. He's got to accept in his heart, do I love my wife and do right by my wife and my family? Or am I helpless? Can I just not get away from other women? That's what they have to do. You have to look in the mirror and understand, I can either fight for my marriage, I can fight for my family, I can do right by my wife. And I hope that everybody accepts her apology for lashing out, because she's in love and she doesn't know what the heck is going to happen from day to day with her husband. But she and him are going to have to work that thing out. The hot nanny. My goodness. That'd be interesting. You know, we need a nanny, David. We need a nanny. And then she's evaluating the profiles on care.com. I'm not saying you're ever going to need a nanny, but. Oh, man. But I feel for her, though. I feel for her, but she has to address him. She has to. It's not about everybody else. It starts right there in the home. All right. Next segment is a topic that I really want to get into, because when it comes to historically, I've just been a big fan of newspapers, and not just the big mainstream newspapers like Star Tribune or Pioneer Press or the LA Times and all the big ones, but the local ones, the small town newspapers. And it sounds like there's a couple of small town newspapers that are going to go away, which is very unfortunate. We'll discuss that next year. Henry Lake Inn for Chad Hartman. Final couple of segments, Henry Lake Inn for Chad Hartman. Paul and Jordana up next at 3 o'clock. I see this story and it makes me sad. And I'm pretty sure that people out there that are listening to the show will probably feel the same way. It affects us locally or in the state of Minnesota. You know, when I graduated from college and I came home, one of the things that I appreciated and that I liked was on Sundays, one of the things that I would do is that I would go to Schindler's. I go to Schindler's on a Sunday, pick up a paper from another major city. All right, because Schindler's, you know, and I miss Schindler's to this day. That was a great store, man. Back when I was a kid, you go get the baseball cards, the basketball cards, whatever the card stuff. And then if you were into comics, you can go get comics. And then they had like a section for those that want to get the out-of-town Sunday newspapers. And you could grab all the major newspapers. Once I got in, and I did that, I kind of was geeking out that way. And they would have the big newspapers from all the you know, some of the big newspapers from cities all over the country. Because when you do that and you dive into what's going on in the content from other cities, it gives you some perspective and insight as to what's going on outside of your own bubble, right? Not just within what happens in our day-to-day lives, but what goes on all around the country. And when you see smaller towns lose small town newspapers, to me, that's ultimately heartbreaking. And it's brought up in this Inform.com article. It will be heartbreaking is the title. It says, Ward newspaper prepares to close, Crookston to reduce days. So Ward is in a situation to where their newspaper is going to be shut down. And I know that's a big-time hockey area, but their Pioneer publisher, Rebecca Colden, she said that the weekly paper will likely close after the May 7th edition. But she's holding on to hope that someone will be interested in buying the publication in the coming weeks. She says, quote, it's like any other business, small business. We're always trying to keep them open, looking at new venues for revenue flow. At some point, you have to look at it from the attachment, less from the attachment of the community and the 120-year-old paper and what will be lost if the paper closes. You have to finally look at it from just a dollar and cents business platform, and if it can't work as a business, it can't work. Also, the Crookston Times newspaper will be transitioning from a Monday through Friday printed product to a biweekly publication beginning May 6th. So Crookston, their newspaper, is going to be in transition as well. And their managing editor, Mike Christofferson, said the newsroom is shifting to a digital focus to cut printing costs and give reporters more time to seek stories and produce in-depth content, which I get that. That makes sense, because when we talk about digital and we talk about all the different things that we try to switch up, we live in that day and age. Heck, today when I was talking to DJ about this, he said, I think you said that you never bought a newspaper. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
you've never purchased a newspaper?
No, I don't think I have. My parents got the newspaper when I was growing up, and I would read I'd check the standings for the Twins and Vikings and stuff, and I'd read the funnies. But I don't think I've ever purchased a newspaper. I use the newspapers here locally regularly, but it's all online, or occasionally I pick it up here at work, but I don't think I've ever purchased it. I do have high respect for the news that's produced, particularly at our the Pioneer Press and Star Tribune locally. They do fantastic work.
Yep.
But I've never purchased a hard copy of a newspaper.
Listen to this. The Crookston Times has been printing since 1885. The Warroad Pioneer launched in 1897. And they caught attention from readers in March of 2017 in an issue that highlighted the importance of local news with a blank front page that only included one headline. Without you, there is no newspaper. That's telling to me. It's sad, because when you see these smaller towns lose their small town newspapers, part of the identity of the town is lost. There's a lot of pride when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, and what you lose isn't so much the physical paper that hits your front porch at 6 o'clock every morning. I mean, that's kind of nostalgic, and there's an importance there. But what you really lose is the stories in War Road and Crookston, that there was a reporter who was paid a wage to go report on city council meetings and local sporting events, high school sporting events.
Think about the pride of
new businesses
in War Road with the hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And now those stories have less of a chance of getting told, and that's the real loss.
That is a loss. That's a loss. And I think that's the way that we have to look at it. When I see this story and it talks about these small town newspapers in Minnesota, that's heartbreaking to me. Because what do we hear all the time? We hear about when the Star Tribune is going to be bought by somebody, or the LA Times is going to be bought, or who's going to buy the Washington Post. What about these smaller town communities as well? It's a big deal. That is a big deal. So it is heartbreaking to me. And you're right, though. A lot of people just don't. They don't physically deal with newspaper. We have a stack of newspapers. We still support the industry here. Mm-hmm. But every day when we walk in the office, do we always grab one? No, because you can sit down at your desk and you can go right online and find it.
Yeah, I think in a media landscape that continues to be, more national, and a lot of newspapers are carrying just a lot of, AP stories, national stories, there's still this value on local production of news. And we try to do that here at WCCO, but there's only one place you can get the inside scoop on a new business in downtown War Road, and it was the War Road paper. And now who's going to tell that story? Maybe somebody will fill that gap.
Hopefully.
But who's going to tell that story?
But the thing is how many people are going to step up to the plate right now and say, yeah, we'll take it on, when you know that the revenue probably isn't there? And from a business model perspective, it's probably not happening.
yeah, to pay that person to go write that story, you're probably not going to see a return on investment.
And it's not like young kids in that town are going to be walking to go get a newspaper. They get everything right there on their phones.
Yeah.
So it's just a sad day that we're seeing some of these publications, especially with some of the small towns, just kind of go away. That's very unfortunate. All right, it's the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to learn how Lindus Construction can create a more comfortable home. It is now 2:48, and in the final segment, we'll dive into the Minnesota Twins. They did make a couple of roster moves this morning, and it involves your starting pitcher tonight. We'll do that next year on Late Night. That's going to be interesting. I'm going to be listening to Paul and Jordana. Paul's talking about headbutting, the Doppler. That'll be interesting. It'll also be interesting tonight to see what happens with the Twins and the Astros. You win game one of the series, you lose game two. What happens tonight? Well, they made a couple of roster moves. They recalled right-handed pitchers Cole Stewart, who starts tonight, and Fernando Romero from AAA Rochester. To make room on the 25-man, they optioned outfielder Jake Cave and right-handed pitcher Tyler Duffy to Rochester. So those were the moves. And you knew something was going to happen because last night the bullpen just, it was very much a struggle again. You had some struggles last week against Toronto at home and then now on the road last night against a really good Astros team. You struggled. This was Rocco Baldelli after the game reflecting on the disappointing game.
We hung in there, and you know, Rosie got us going early on. You know, they have a good offense, and I think they grinded their at bats out. And you know, we made good pitches, and then for some spurts we didn't. But I think ultimately, you know, their ability to put good at bats together against us, you know, won out at the end of the day. But it was a challenge, and also, you know, there were probably, I would say, some of the at-bats that we did have could have been different, but the way that we were going to handle our bullpen today might have been a little different from a typical game earlier on when we probably had some more rest. And but we want our guys to go out there and pitch, and we believe they're going to be able to get the job done, and we're going to rely on these guys.
That's interesting, because Rocco did want to see what Pineda was able to do last night, because remember, the weeks ago, we kept saying to ourselves, man, he's pulling his pitchers quick. There was even a game in New York where he was about to pull Jake Odorizzi, who hadn't given up a hit. But he let Michael try to grind it out last night. He was able to get out of a couple of jams, but then ultimately was not able to get out of the jam in the fifth inning, in which he gave up three runs. But that the bullpen, people have questions. And yes, I'm happy that they're figuring it out right now. Figure it out now as opposed to later. Rocco was asked if last night's pitching meltdown would impact tonight's pitching plan.
It's possible that some of the things that went on tonight could have affected it, but like I said, we'll sort it all out and we'll have some information pretty soon.
And the information is Cole Stewart is starting tonight. He's your starter for the Twins. Second appearance, first start for Cole Stewart. So good luck. Good luck tonight. But make sure that you're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO tonight for the game. Oh, programming note too, tonight, final pitch, we got Eric Nelson. Eric Nelson filling in for me and DJ tonight. And then tomorrow, DJ, you're going to be out of here. You're going to be in Colorado with the fam, hanging out, having fun for the next 3-4 days. And me and Devin will be holding it down, doing late night. But that'll be after the draft show that we're all doing from essentially 6:30 until 11 o'clock at night. The final couple of hours, we'll probably talk more draft. But it'll be a nice conversation tomorrow with Mike Max, Jeff Diamond, Eric Nelson, and Steve Thompson. So I'm looking forward to that.
And don't forget, Friday night, the Twins are back in town as they host Baltimore, and you will be back out live at Target Field for Target final Field. Pitch and the rest of your show.
Yep. No, that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Can we just get this one tonight, man?
That'd be huge.
Because whenever you lose a game like you did last night, and you just things just go badly. They go so poorly for you. That leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And you're like, oh, that's not who we are. Like, when I look at the Twins and I see that they lose 10-4 and the way that it happened and those final few runs that were put on the board by Houston, come on, the game was out of reach at that point. You say to yourself, that's not Twins baseball. That's not who the Twins are. The Twins are a better team than that.
And the Twins have been defined this year by sticking in it and coming back, whether it's inning to inning, striking back after they've been scored on, and they've only lost back-to-back games once this season. They've been known for kind of coming back and righting the ship, and we'll see if they can do that tonight in Houston.
Hopefully they will. Hopefully they will. And they will be back, yes, in town on Friday. I will be out at the ballpark having a lot of fun watching Twins baseball and taking care of final pitch after the game on Friday night. But yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. But make sure you tune in tonight after the game, final pitch, Eric Nelson. Then he'll be doing late night right here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. Paul and Jordana, Dan Cook, they're up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.